Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Namaste, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Tola Talks on Monday, December 4th, 2017. And, you know, I have one of my dearest and my closest friends here in Hollywood, special guest co-host today, the lovely, talented Troy Titus Adams.
Well, hello. I'm so excited to be here.
Love having you back, Troy. You recall, Troy, if you go back in the archives a couple years back, Troy, that was three years ago.
Really?
Yeah. Yep, Troy.
Oh, my goodness.
3 years ago, Troy was Movie Mondays, remember?
Yes.
You're coming in, we're talking films.
That's right.
Because Troy is an actress and a producer. You guys know she was the associate producer on my film Boulevard Zen as well, but you're still rocking it, Troy.
Still rocking it, you know.
I mean, you're 30 years later, but you're only, what, two years old when you started?
That's right.
That's
it. Yeah, I could barely walk when
I
started.
When you were in London doing EastEnders.
I was.
I remember that.
Yeah.
Nina.
Nina, yes.
Nina on EastEnders.
The slutty barmaid.
You were a slutty barmaid?
Well, that was in the past, but yeah.
Of course. Well, this is an especially special show today, Troy, because it marks the 10th anniversary of three things.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. And you know, good things come in threes.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, guys, that's chapter, and I just plug my book here. Chapter 60 of my memoir, Simply Between Millions, From Wall Street to Hollywood, because you know, I did come a long way. 11 years back, by the way. Yeah, that chapter 60 talks about how good things come in threes. So, one, this is our 10-year anniversary of being friends. Do you know that? We met. Right, Black Nexus.
Oh, wow.
In November.
Really?
Yeah, we met in November of 2017.
Really?
Can you believe it?
Oh.
So, Troy, you really are. You're my longest running, dearest friend in Hollywood.
That's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Oh,
right?
Where did that time go?
10 years, Troy. Ouch. It does.
My eyes are watering.
It goes quick. And this is the 10th Tola Talks. Back in the second version here at LA Talk Radio. Can you believe it? You're all number 10 as well. And I will say, the third one is 10 years sober. Yesterday was my 10-year anniversary, no alcohol. That's right.
Oh, I think I am going to cry. That is very emotional. That's a lot going on right there, and that's fantastic.
Congratulations, man. Yeah. I mean, let me tell you, what Eminem says in his song, Lose Yourself, at the very end, you could do anything you set your mind to.
Mm-hmm.
10 years, guys, and we're going to talk about alcoholism and the effects that it has and the money that it costs and binge drinkers a little bit later, because it was a great day. So you know how I celebrate it?
No, how did you celebrate?
I got loaded.
No. Ah, what, on potato skins?
On potato skins, that's right. I was burning them, trying to distill them myself. No. Oh, no, that was funny. But yesterday, yeah, can you believe it? I did. I remember drinking a bottle of Chianti. I waited till noon for the grocery store to open. I went and bought a bottle, drank it within an hour, passed out, woke up a couple hours later, never drank again.
Wow.
That's it. It's that easy,
good
guys.
For
you. You could cut out anything. I mean,
yeah,
right? Whatever
yeah,
it is.
Can.
Well, almost anything, I guess. Love. You can't cut out love.
No, that
no.
We need. Definitely.
Gotta be loving. And Troy's a mom.
I am a mommy.
You're a mommy.
Yes, I am.
How old's that little cub now?
That little cub, my little rambunctious cub, is 4.5.
Wow.
I know. Four and a half, and we're getting ready to go to kindergarten.
No
so,
kidding.
Yeah, in September. So, yeah.
Oh, really? That's exciting.
It is exciting. You know, I'm doing the whole school thing.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
It is a thing.
That's another topic. How
really?
To do schools, public schools in LA, how to do it, magnet schools, charter schools, and trying to navigate all of that. It's a whole thing.
So it's not like you just go to one school. It's,
no.
There's choices, really.
Yeah,
and
those
money
days
involved?
Are gone. Well, it's not even, it's the money, it's the sign up, it's the lottery. You get given a number, and it's all based upon if your name gets pulled out of a hat. whether your child gets to go to that school, you know. And the public school system, the LAUSD, you know, it's not perfect. They're working on it. But do you really want your child to be the guinea pig while they figure it out? No, right?
So, no,
and if you can't
all.
Afford independent education, then, yeah, you got to look for a good choice, charters and magnet. So, yeah, it's a thing.
Got to find them. Hey, whoever's calling in, can you call in a little bit later? We're going to keep going here because we're going to, I don't want to get off track, but I see the calls coming. Thank you for calling. But give us a call in about 20 minutes or so. I want to get through a couple of these topics because it's always a pleasure, Troy, when you're here. We're going to cover a lot of ground, but we'll get back to that being a mom because you'll see we do talk about being a mom. And wow, this woman made some interesting choices. But before we do that, let's start off with if I were president. And just so you know, guys, I did not review these topics with Troy because I want to get her honest, straightforward opinion. But if I were president, and Troy, what I said on the first show, in 2036, I'm going to be running for president once I become a billionaire and I host my own reality show, of course.
Oh.
She's like, no, you don't want to do that.
No.
And I did watch Isles of March, and after that, you do not want to be a politician, no doubt. But if I were president, I would allow transgender individuals, also known as trans people, in the military. I don't know if you've been following what's going on here.
Oh, well, it is just a ridiculous situation. It shouldn't even be under discussion.
Mm-hmm.
People who go into the military put their lives on the line. Who cares what their sexuality is?
Makes no difference.
I mean, how dare you?
Exactly. Well, this was last month, a second federal judge, U.S. District Court Judge Marvin Garbus in Maryland, he blocked enforcement of President Trump's prohibition, right, on transgender individuals serving in the military. He says he found that active duty service members face substantial harm from the ban, which they do. I was watching an interview with a woman who was the first transgender at the U.S. Naval Academy, and she's now in limbo waiting for this to be resolved because Trump tweeted back, we said U.S. government won't allow it. But the judge said, a capricious, I like this little quote, he tweeted back to Trump, a capricious, arbitrary, and unqualified tweet of new policy does not trump the methodical and systematic review by military stakeholders qualified to understand the ramifications of policy changes. So he's kind of saying, hey, you really don't understand what this whole process is about in making these changes, and they're momentous, really.
Actually, the word qualified, he's not qualified. He can barely string together a sentence, much less, you know, place bans.
Not
on
a Trump
people.
Fan, huh? Well, we're not going to get too political
okay,
here.
Sorry.
But you do know another chapter 66 called It's Hot in the Valley. You know, one of my dear friends is transgender.
Yep.
And I learned a lot from her that no doubt that transgender individuals are wired that way. It's not like, hey, they wake up one day and say, this is what I want to do. No.
Who would want to go through the discrimination? That's what I ask people. Who in their right mind wants to do that? Nobody wakes up and says, oh, yeah, let me just be, you know, on America's most hated list. Or let me have difficulties going to use the restroom in different states or what have you. Who wants that?
Who wants that? Who wants your mother, like, disowning you? A lot
right.
of times the family just doesn't, especially from years ago.
Right.
Now it's more understood.
Right.
But no doubt, I would definitely allow it and let people be people.
They're right? fighting. They're fighting. It has nothing
That's
to
right.
do with them. They have a skill set, whether it's their brain, whether it's their physicality. They should be able to be in our military.
No doubt. I like that we're on the same side of that fence on
we
the
are.
Wall.
That's
some
right.
fake wall in Mexico.
No.
That's another one. We're not going to go
no,
there.
No, we're not going there. It's almost too much.
It is. On that note, we're going to the Get Your Shit Together Award. You remember this from
oh,
back
I love
in the
this
day.
Award. I love this one. I do. What is it?
Well, this one is Reversal of Misfortune. So okay. sometimes we give it to someone who does have their shit together.
Right.
So I want to ask you what you would do in this instance, because we're talking about a woman, a mom, who basically, I would say, she's really got her shit together, because what she did over the weekend in Riverside, California, 3 o'clock in the morning, she's trying to flag down a police officer to report her 18-year-old son just molested two boys. And she turned this kid in. Man, listen to this. His name is Joseph Boston is the name of the boy. They didn't release the mom's name, but this boy confessed to his mom that he sexually assaulted a 4-year-old and an 8-year-old at a $65 a night motel room a mile from the police station. So she took him to the police station, turned him in, and he admitted to it. And he also admitted molesting upwards of 50 children over the since he was 10 years old, over the past 8 years. Is that insane?
That means he was abused. That's the bigger picture.
Yeah, the bigger picture.
I didn't extrapolate that, but okay.
I mean,
it's not a given that just because you abuse children that you were yourself abused. But he's a kid.
He's a kid.
Right? Okay, he's barely an adult at 18. So if he's been doing it since he was 10, he is a kid molesting a kid.
Yeah.
So it's something that is learnt behavior. I mean, how else would he have known,
true.
Unless he's locked up in a room watching porn videos or how-to videos. You don't know that at 9, 10.
No, you're
so
right.
What's
maybe
been going
at a young
on
age it could happen to him from someone else.
At school, a janitor, or something. I mean, it's not unheard
crazy.
Of. But that, yeah, you're a mom, right?
What do you do? You find this out, 18-year-old boy who looks a little crazy when you see a picture of this kid. You turn them in?
Yeah.
You got to do it, right?
Yeah. Wow. Because it's pedophilia is something that's not curable. You are always a pedophile. They can throw them in jail. They'll never
be cured.
Can't
rewire these people.
You cannot rewire them. Really, they should just be on their own island somewhere else.
With all the homeless and derelicts that are walking the streets, put them in there too. But no,
I don't want to beat up on that, but I think they are their own category, and you cannot rehab them. So they need to be somewhere where they can do productive work, but they need to be kept away from people
from society.
Yeah.
No, I agree
with
that.
I have no mercy
for
them.
And let me take that back. Not all homeless, I agree with that, but there's a lot of kooks on the street. I'm seeing it in downtown L.A., and I live there now. But yeah, there's a lot of wacky. This is the wackiness.
I don't put my wacky homelessness people in with pedophiles.
No, they're totally different. If you're going to build an island, I called it a TP community for homeless.
Right.
That's a whole different thing. But the
pedophiles are something else.
Yeah,
which,
they need to be. I know.
I've done a lot.
Annihilate it.
Because I've done a lot of research. Remember last time I was in, I talked about the play that I was in
and so on and so forth.
That's
right.
That dealt with those themes. And so I've done a lot of research on it. And
that was a heavy play.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that. That's right.
They're despicable people. And so as a mom, you got to do the right thing because you know that either your child has been abused, but he will re-abuse. He will do it again and again. So you have to do the right thing, and you have to give him over to the police.
Got to do the right thing.
4-year-old.
No. I know. This woman, I told you, this woman has her shit together. And even the officer who was interviewed by KABC said it's going to affect not only the victims for a long time, he said, but also the detectives and the officers involved. He said, because this kid, he is very open about it. He said he was open about it, and he's not even 18 years old himself. It's crazy. Nuts.
The world is nuts.
The world is nuts.
It's definitely a different place
than when we grew up. Well,
yeah,
me,
for sure.
I know, you're a lot younger.
No, it is.
No, we didn't have to worry about that. You could run around the neighborhood. You weren't worried about, moms were concerned about some wacko. Well, there's all sorts of nonsense. That's where it gets crazy.
And that's sad.
That's sad. Well, let's move on.
Let's move on.
Something maybe not as sad, but something perhaps as crazy. WTF, the rant and raves. I got to rant a little bit about
this. Please, go on.
Over the weekend, all right, part of my little celebration here, hanging out with a buddy of mine. He's a millennial. You and I are not millennials. No, he's a millennial, and he's into esports and gaming and all that stuff, right? So he says to me, and he was on this, he had one computer going, and he said, oh, well, from 10 o'clock until 5 o'clock, I need to watch this competition of gamers, and then every 50 minutes or so, they're going to put up a gun that you can use in this new game. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. You're hanging around in the background with this thing so you could get guns to have an advantage over someone else playing. So anyway, I'm watching a little bit. Then he puts on another TV, and he starts playing this game, and I have to say what it is. I don't know if you guys know this, Gears of War. Like, okay, all right, brutal, bloodshed, killer beach. It's unbelievable. First of all, the good news is the bad guys, they don't look like humans. They're like kind of something from like the Slea Stacks from Land of the Lost to me. I don't know. They're not human. So killing them, ripping their head off, they're like punching them. They do this, you know what the tea bag is? Teabagging, you know. It's like, and I'm watching this, and this guy's like, and I'm thinking, okay, so, you know, half hour goes by, and he's just so excited because he's got these new guns, and he's, and I'm like, you know what? This makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. I said, what does this, I said, you're better off, it's a time sponge. It's, this video stuff puts your brain in into an alternate reality. I said, you're better off just smoking pot all day. That's probably what they're doing.
Sitting well, you know, smoking pot is probably have, you know, more benefits than doing something like that. That is, it's so wrong on so many levels, and so detrimental to mental health, I believe, in my opinion. Because you have young kids doing this 15 hours a day, just,
oh, it's crazy,
you know, or being in these open chat rooms with this stuff. And unfortunately, we live in a society where you can go and buy a gun. And
yeah, without a doubt,
you know, to me, this stuff isn't funny. You know, coming from the UK, where no, you can't get a hold of a gun that easily, then this kind of stuff is just like, oh, you know, you're just blowing people up and shooting people, and it's not real. But now that I've lived in America for 10 years,
violent.
Yes, it is violent. But it's I watched violence on TV; it didn't make me a violent person. However, now we are surrounded with violence, right? The news is violence, whether it's the wars, terrorism, so on and so forth. And then what? We're going to come home and do this?
To do this and rip guys' heads off.
Right.
What, it's a $1.5 billion industry by 2020. That's revenues, okay? Now, in China and North America, we have 52% of the revenues. So we're rocking it out, I'm sure. But it's like they say, here's this. I looked at this website. They said for most game publishers, esports is currently not a profitable business. So they must be spending a ton of money to keep this thing. However, their investment's justified by the positive impact on some revenues and future potential of esports activities as a standalone business. So basically, this is big business. This is big business. And that's what I said to this guy. He buys it and you could spend money. It's kind of easy. It's easy for them. You could buy guns. You could buy stuff. And it's unbelievable because I was like, dude, go work out. Go run around the block. You're sitting here for 7 hours in front of these two screens playing these games.
Talk to somebody.
Talk to somebody. Have fun instead, you know. I'm like, where's the bong? Let's go. I don't know. It makes no sense to me.
It makes no sense.
Thank God it ever didn't have esports when we were young.
No
way.
Out in the street, playing,
that's
climbing
it.
Trees.
On your
I
bike,
mean,
no telephone.
It sounds so old-fashioned, but it was so much fun.
It was peaceful, fun. Well, maybe not always peaceful.
No, but you would have a scrap, right? You would have a scrap, or you would hop over into your neighbor's backyard. But nowadays, if a kid were to do that, you have to be afraid that someone might have a gun in their house and might think that you're trying to, you know, invade their home. I mean, times have changed so much, and it's so sad because the best things about the past are being lost.
Wow, we're getting calls in today, Troy. That must be for you. Give us another minute. Call us after 4:30, guys. Call us after 4:30. I want to get some more in here. Because I want to talk about this. Books, movies, music, and more. We will get to some calls today, though. Books, movies, music, and more, because I'm all about, well, we're all about movies.
We love movies.
We love movies. I watched The Runaways, by the way. Joan Jett, Blackhearts.
Oh, yeah.
That's a cool movie. Kristen Stewart and Dakota Fanning. She did a great job. Hello, Daddy. Hello, Mom. I'm your cherry bomb. it was all right. I'm not going to review that movie, guys, because I'm going to review this book, which I believe everybody should read this year. I'm going to give a plug out to Dr. John C. Maxwell. He wrote Talent is Never Enough. Now, he's the internationally recognized leadership expert. He's sold more than 19 million books, this guy. He's got a couple of them out there. But what this book is about, it outlines 13 things one can do to maximize your natural talents. Because what John believes is You should become a talent plus person. Just because you're talented, it's not enough. You got to do more. Throwing out a couple quotes from this book. As I read this book, it's kind of a book where you could take notes and maybe come back to it. A lot of different guys he quotes, too. Charles Schulz, remember? Snoopy. And life is Charlie a 10-speed bike. Mm-hmm. Said most of us have gears we never use. That's true.
Oh, I like that.
Got to use those gears. Mm-hmm. Here's another one from Malcolm Gladwell. Remember him, The Tipping Point? He said, talent is often overrated and frequently misunderstood. You know, what is talent? Mm-hmm. Right, here's another one. Well, passion is always the key. You and I, we've shown the passion. You've been in the industry now, entertainment, for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming on like 12 years, and I know it's tough to survive, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's tough to hang in there and pursue it because, guys, for you're a creative person, how do you make money? How do you keep the lights on?
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It is. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You got to stay with it if it's for you. It's where you finish in life isn't determined so much by where you start as whether you start. You just got to get started, right? Whatever it is. So if that's someone out there, you got the passion. That's what this show's all about, really, to inspire you to get off your butt.
Don't procrastinate.
No. Oh, how about that? Procrastination is the fertilizer that makes difficulties grow. That is true. That is true. Here's a couple more from John. I'm just going through this. This one here. Set your standards high and keep them high, even if you think no one else is looking. Somebody out there will always notice, even if it's just you. Kind of cool. You got to, right? You got to live by your standards. Whether it's looking good, feeling good, being positive. Every time I close out a yoga class, I say think positive, speak positive, feel positive. There's three parts to it. It's not just the mind.
That's good.
It's the body and what you feel like. And we're going to talk about fitness because you're big into fitness. But here's another one. If you want your life to be a magnificent story, then realize that you are its author. Every day you have the chance to write a new page in that story. I want to encourage you to fill those pages with responsibility to others and yourself. I like that. Responsibility to others and yourself. If you do, in the end, you will not be disappointed. He's pretty solid on that. Now, here's a guy that goes and speaks to Fortune 500 companies. He speaks to the Naval Academy, Army, etc. I mean, he's out there and he's basically saying success consists of a series of little daily victories. Call them small victories in the war. And that's the key, people. Yeah, you could be talented something, but it's also, and I learned this from a guy when I first got here. I want to give a shout out to well, this goes way back. This guy, Eric Fryser, he was my resident advisor at Penn. My freshman year, he was a senior. So we connected. Didn't see him again until years later. I come here. He's a writer, photographer here in Hollywood. And he said, you know, it's hard to be great at everything. He goes, yeah, you could be good at everything. Mm. He goes, but you want to hone in on what is it that you're naturally great at? And get better and stick with that. He says, because it's just so hard to go and if you don't have the skill for editing, then don't go be an editor. It's like, you know, with actors, a lot of times they want to do everything, right? Well, some of us have the ability, like yourself, producing. I mean, we're hard workers. We're kind of smart, a little bit more than, the average person on the street. So you're able to take it to a new level. But in life, if you could stick with that one thing and get great at it, I will say, from someone who's tried a million things in life, it's good to focus, laser focus.
I would like to add to that that it's important to love what you do. You can't always get all. You can, but it's a challenge to get the balance with that because we always say, oh, I want the house, I want the car, I need to have the family, I need to get married, I need to the children, college, So what happens is you do what you think is right or what feeds the situation, but it's not feeding you. So over a long period of time, that then eats away at your true self, and then you're not a happy person. So we only have one life to live. So I personally think that we need to aim for true happiness and being content with who we are and what we have to give. You know, and I think that's really important because you're a super smart guy. You could go and be, you know, a millionaire if you wanted to, if that was the path that you wanted to throw all your eggs in.
If it was money, right.
Right, if it was money, you can make that. But that's not what's going to make you happy. So you don't do that. And so your life might look a little bit different, but ultimately you're not the person sitting, you know, with a beautiful view and you've got a platinum cards here and there, but you have no friends, you have no real family, you want to have an affair with somebody because you never see your wife because you're always working, you know, and you're unhappy and you're drinking yourself into oblivion.
I lived that life, Troy. I lived that life. The more money I made, the more I drank, the more people, women I slept with, it was like unbelievable.
Right. So that's not the answer. Happiness. No, it's not. So
I mean, money does help make things easier, of course.
Doesn't it?
Right?
Yeah,
we
absolutely.
All gotta survive.
But I think ultimately we need to connect with people who see the beauty in who we are and whatever we give off that makes them happy, that we hold on to that, right? And that we also know that we're enough, right? And when we look
that's
in the mirror,
so true.
We're
enough. Right. So many things. It's like you always are judging yourself based on what other people can't do that.
No.
Because we don't know what their life's about. You don't know what the heck they come home to every day.
Like.
Yeah, on the outside, everything's different, right? You guys
smoke
know.
Smoke and mirrors.
Always smoke and mirrors. Well, coming here, you know that. After this 11 years, I'm going through that now where we were talking briefly. When I haven't seen Troy in a little bit. When she got here, I'm like all excited. Like, you know, some days you get to this place where, well, love the radio. I love writing. I tell you, I'm working on a sitcom. Everything is like moving forward, but can kind of take a step back and say, well, wait a minute, I've been banging away for 11 years.
Right.
It's like, when does someone, you know, poke their head up and say, wow, you know, you're really good at this. Let's have you over here. Because, hey, it'd be great to be a part of something even huger, right? Bigger in this industry. But we're all getting there. It's all a journey.
I think it, well, it is a journey, but it's never on our time. It's on the universe's time or on God's time, depending on whether you're religious or not. But it's the universe's time because there are lessons that we need to learn. There are people that we need to meet before what we want comes into fruition. We cannot do it on our own. So this means that we need to make the right connects. And I don't mean connections like networking. Oh, if I go to this party. No, I mean organic ones, ones that our true self attract, your energy, your aura, who you connect because of those real relationships, mm-hmm. that something positive is grown out of that.
Right.
And that takes time.
It does take time, peeps. It takes time to radiate. You got to keep radiating positivity, but then you're going to attract like attracts. I like the book Ayn Rand wrote, The Fountainhead.
Right.
Okay. Another one. I won't review that today. That's one of my favorite books of all time. That and The Power of One, my two favorite books, actually. And in that, Rourke, the protagonist, I mean, he's his own individual. He has his own style. He's a modernist, really, in a time where it's not modern. And he's like, hey, the right people will come. Here's a guy who can't even eat. He's got no heat. You know, he's poor as can be. But the story is amazing. He just sticks with his values and what he believes in, and the right people do come. I mean, they do find him. And I think it's the same thing here. It's everybody says it. My very first agent that I met in New York, I was at Penny Templeton's class, and this agent comes in. I'd never met an agent before, and she said, you know, it doesn't matter where you do this business. And back then it was, it had to be in L.A., it had to be near. New York was not as big in film and TV at the moment. It was, 12 years back? But she said, hey, it doesn't matter. If you love what you do, do it anywhere. It could be in St. Louis. It could be in San Francisco. It doesn't matter. They'll find you.
And you just do it.
Just do it. And that's what I'm reading about. Had the sitcom script reviewed, and everybody kind of says that. They say if it's good enough, we'll find you. It's like, don't worry. If it's not good enough, then there's so many of them out there that aren't good. But I'll tell you, we're killing it with the jokes in this. I told you, Seinfeld meets Cheers in the yoga studio, and I love it. Can't wait for that.
That's with the Writers Guild, right?
Idea. Oh,
you
yeah. No, I mean? That's all there. Somebody wants to do it, go right ahead. Ours is better. No, I copyright everything. I do everything by the book.
Of course you do.
The Writers Guild, copyright. But at the same point, it's like you still have to make it happen.
Right.
That's another thing. A lot of people talk about it. They talk about what they're going to do. They talk about what they used to do.
Ugh. You're the person to get this done. You really are.
Got to get shit done, I'll tell you, Troy. But there are times. Right about now, I've been thinking, should I go on those dating sites? I've been toying with that. I know. this millionaire matchmaker. It's funny. I told my friends, I taught a pop-up yoga class, right? And all these young girls are there. And I did it on my roof, actually. And they were talking about, whatever. They got it after we were hanging around on the roof. And they were kind of saying the same thing. They're like, so, where's your girlfriend? I said, I'm in between opportunities.
I love it.
I have it's been weird. For a long time. But too long. I said, I've been thinking. I've been thinking about going, calling up the millionaire matchmaker, seeing if she has these. They're like, oh, don't do that. You're going to get some rich bitch who's going to be crazy. I said, yeah, I'll be carrying a little Pomeranian through the airport. That's what I'll be good for. I'll be my own personal tote bag. I said, I don't want to do that.
No,
I said, forget
don't.
That.
No, you don't
no,
want
no,
to do
no.
that.
But when it happens organically, that would be great. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know. You married, Troy?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
I know you are. I think I'm coming up on 8 years.
No shit.
8 years in February.
Really?
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. Oh. 8 years married. Oh, my God. Troy, third. You've been around there, Troy. I'll tell you.
Oh, my goodness.
A lot of good things. But you're here for good, though.
Yeah.
LA is your home.
Yeah, it is my home right now. Right now.
Yeah, okay. I say that too. So if you got called and someone says we're doing this film in China and you got to go to China, all right.
Come on, fam.
Fam-a-lams. We'll go. The cub will love it.
The cub will definitely I always think it's great to live abroad and learn a new language and all of that kind of stuff. I think it's good. It's character building stuff.
Of course. And if you're a guy, go to Nice. Mm. Ladies ride their bikes there topless. Love it. Speaking of which, I won't say her name. There was a woman, she was probably like 30, maybe 28, 30, yesterday doing a photo shoot on the roof, hanging out. A lot of people do that, right? And she didn't live in the building, but there was some person connected to it. And it was like they knew what they were doing. The photographer was pretty cool. I got her card after. They were... And she was wearing the skimpiest of skimpy outfits in the – I don't even what you call them. Little string bikinis.
Brazilians, right? That's what the Brazilians wear.
And then the pool was – and she had a white one on, and the pool was, like, freezing cold. So I'm like, get in the pool, because as soon as she did, the nipples were jumping out. I'm like, wow, this is – and it's funny because she was shy. The girl was kind of shy. And I'm like, you can't be shy doing a photo shoot with no clothes on, for Christ's sake. Anyway. Yeah, it was all right. It was, but I don't know where
clearly,
we're going with all that.
Clearly, she was eye candy. But
she was eye candy, but whatever.
I have nothing against women who want to do that as long as they are empowered. They feel empowered when they do it, and they're not being coerced or forced into those situations. You know, if you've got it and you want to flaunt it, go for it.
Well, she was definitely flaunting it. Mm-hmm. But it was good. It was fun to watch. And I did... get her car because I like that photographer, so I'm like, circle back. Well, on that note, let's do some world news here. And I'm only talking one topic here, and we're talking, what are we talking? National Institute on Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism. Mm-hmm. All right. There's scientists over there, this organization. And a recent study, this is one of those, no kidding, recent study shows people who drink socially and have certain risk factors for alcohol use disorder. It's called AUD. I just thought that was alcoholism, but they call it alcohol use disorder. But these people are more likely to be binge drinkers. Okay, what's a binge drinker? Check this out. There's no doubt I was a binge drinker. If you're a male, 5 drinks every 2 hours. And that's not even that much for a drinker. Oh, wait a minute, Troy's looking at me like, is that a lot? 4 for a woman, that means you're a binge drinker. If you have 4 drinks in 2 hours. Let me tell you.
Not every 4 hours. If you have 4 drinks in 4 hours.
In 2 hours.
In 2 hours.
So in 2 hours, you have 4 drinks, you're called a binge drinker.
Oh.
Doesn't seem like a lot.
Okay.
5, I mean, hey, everybody I knew was a binge. So if you're a binge drinker, well, anyway, males with a family history and that have a higher impulsive behavior, these guys are more likely to be binge drinkers. You know, 30% more likely men than women. But in any case, what we're talking about here is alcoholism, right? And this, thekitchen.com, I went to this website. Mm. They said there's $132 billion spent on alcohol every year. And the average person, they did a study, the average person spends between $50 and $100 a week on alcohol. And I was in that category. I was definitely spending $100 a week.
I think it's easy to spend $100, depending on what it is. If it's good wines and stuff, I mean, that's only 3 bottles of wine.
It's not a lot, but, you know, here's the thing. What they're not judging is when you're drinking, you also spend a lot of money on other stupid shit. So, right? So yeah. My 100 a week was 200 a week because now you're buying this girl a drink. You're asking this girl out on a date. Right. You go on so many first dates. It's unbelievable. It was like I was the king of first dates because that's what you do. You throw the 100 on the bar. And next thing you know, you're drinking with her and you get a date. And then you go out on a date and you're like, this is ridiculous. I was drunk when I met her. I better keep drinking. And that's what you do when you're a boozer.
I'm so glad you're writing a sitcom because that is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. There's all sorts of good stuff in there, too. But it, obviously, guys, negatively affects the body, brain, mood, and behavior, the heart, the liver, the pancreas, cancer, immune system, you name it. And talk about what costs are involved. Everybody knows that. I mean, throw these numbers out. I don't even know. It's like billions.
What about your family, though? All the family, all the people it affects.
It affects everybody. Mm-hmm. It said 87% of people over 18 reported that they had alcohol at one point in their life or drank alcohol, which is, that makes sense, almost 90%. 70% said they drank in the past year. 58% of those are full-time college students, of course. And you
58%?
See all, yeah. Oh, and 38 gosh. Of college students percent who drink are binge drinkers. No kidding.
Oh, yeah.
Powered down all these fraternities and these deaths that are occurring. Pretty sad. There's 88,000 deaths a year alcohol related. It's the third leading preventable cause of death. First is tobacco. Second is poor diet, physical inactivity, then alcohol. It's over $300 billion a year in abuse costs. So it's unbelievable, right? 3/4 of that related to binge drinking. So that's what I did. You kind of like drink to get buzzed, right? It's like, oh, let me get that buzz. Let me power down a couple. It says if more than 10% of U.S. children who live with parents, more than 10% of U.S. children live with parents that have an alcohol problem. That's pretty scary.
That's very scary.
You don't really. I've never even seen you drink at all.
I think because I come from a different country and alcoholism and our views on alcohol are very different. So here, you know, you can't drink until you're, 21? You can't go anywhere. And that
you get the fake ID.
Right,
but
it's encouraging bad behavior, right? We, on the other hand, 16. So what happens is by the time you're 18, you've done all your drinking. By the time you go to college, a few drinks here and there, but then you're over it. It's done, you know?
It teaches you responsibility at a young age.
Yes. Yeah. And we have, you know, we used to have wine at dinner, watered down, but we had a healthy respect for alcohol and what it does to you. And so, you know, I was always taught as a girl, you never get drunk because people can take advantage of you. So
we know that.
Right. Absolutely. So, I mean, I've never wanted to appear to be out of control with alcohol.
Well, you had the wherewithal and the control. But moderate alcohol consumption, they've been saying that for years, one drink a day for women, 2 drinks a day for men, has beneficial health. I don't know. I'm not even going to go.
Well, depending on what you're drinking. If you're drinking whiskey or you're drinking hard liquor, maybe not. But if you're drinking red wine, organic red wine with sulfates, maybe there are some health, you know, benefits,
maybe,
you know, but
I don't know. I think
everything in moderation.
I think for anyone out there who wants to quit drinking, let me tell you, you're going to save a ton of money. You're going to save a ton of money.
Skin.
It's good for the body, the skin, everything. And I mean, if I 10 years, it's amazing.
Your alertness, everything.
Oh yeah, it's been a great journey.
Yeah,
no doubt. So Troy, before we do that, I always like to do a little bit of fitness and total yoga. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to give one fitness tip because Troy's big into fitness.
I love fitness.
You love fitness. You've always been. You can tell. Looks great. I mean, no doubt fitness makes the body look good. well, or better.
Well, it's even more than that. It makes you feel good.
Well, of course, of course.
No, but people, I don't think they
I'm
understand.
I'm vain, Troy. What can I say?
Well, you're all about the looks. I get it.
Well, I'm not all about the looks.
No. We love how it makes us look and feel. But after I've taught a class or done a class and I've punched something, if I'm doing like cardio kickbox or I've done my martial arts or and I'm sweating, I'm so full of like positivity and I can conquer the world. You know what I mean? It sounds so cliche, but that's how I feel.
Well, Troy, should we take a phone call here?
Let's go for it.
If this is some whack job, we're going to... All right, hold on one second. Let's see if we can say hello to somebody here. Hey, thanks for calling. Who's on the phone? Maybe they got shy. You there?
No, I don't want to talk
right,
to us.
Forget
okay,
it.
Fine.
We're going to end that call. Forget about that. All right, but let me give you a tip, because this has worked for me. I will say, after working out, you know me, I go to the gym 40 years straight now, gym every day, as well as the yoga. But we won't talk too much about Tola Yoga. You guys missed a really great pop-up on the roof on the weekend. But here's what I do. I've been doing this because I've been demotivated for some reason to work out these last couple of weeks. And I will say it's been going on maybe about 2 weeks. So I've been going for 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at the clock and I count it down. But here's the tip. Go the extra 10%. We're talking tens here. Here's what I do. 3 minutes. It's only 3 minutes. So when I'm leaving, I get my jacket. I look at the clock. I'm like 5:30 at 6 o'clock. I'm like, I'm out. And I time my workouts to be done. And then as I'm walking out, I find one piece of equipment. I go to it, put my jacket down, and boom, nail another 3 minutes. And I'm like, you know, that's huge. If you go extra 10%, whether you're walking, biking, whatever you're doing, swimming, just in time, do another 10%. It's trivial, 3 minutes. But add that up over 7 days, that's another 20 minutes. So it's, in effect, another workout that I got in there by going the extra 10%. But you know it. You work out all the time. You're in fitness. You're training people as well, right?
I am. I train people. I teach classes. And, you know, I love to encourage, motivate, inspire, educate people and help them achieve their fitness goals, you know, because it's all about prevention now, right?
Sure.
Let's not talk about the political climate around the ACA, or as people like to call it, Obamacare. But it's a factor, you know. We need to stay fit and healthy, you know, because there's not going to be a healthcare system to look after us, or it's going to be one that we can't even afford to be a part of, or that only 2% of us can afford to be a part of. So that being said, it's not a choice anymore. You have to watch what you eat. You have to work out. You have to move the body.
I've been saying that for years. It's a requirement. It's a necessity.
It's mandatory.
It's
totally
mandatory.
Yeah, sedentary lifestyle kills. And that's it.
That's
the bottom line. So if you want to be around for your grandkids, for your kids, for your significant other, for your husband, for your wife, girlfriend, whatever, you have to work out. And so, you know, I'm actually encouraging my clients to do a 5K. Because I'm involved in the
This is exciting.
Yeah, I'm super, super excited about this. The city of Beverly Hills is holding the first 5K run walk in Beverly Hills on the 28th of January, 2018. And it's the first time that they've closed down those roads, you know, Rodeo Drive, Crescent Avenue, all of that. All the shops, everything.
Really?
It's all closed down to this 5K.
That's huge.
It is huge. So we're raising money for the Beverly Hills Education Foundation, and the money from there will all go to the Beverly Hills Unified School District. Now, it's a public school district. Mm-hmm. I know people go, Beverly Hills, so much money, they don't need it. But people in Beverly Hills tend to send their kids to private schools.
Right.
So it's all their workers' kids who all go to these public schools, and public schools need an injection of cash to keep them up with, you know, the growth mindset and with the ever-changing global, you know, economy and thoughts and innovation that we're all about these days. So, yeah, we're doing this 5K. So I want to offer your listeners a discount code of $10 because the...
$10, there $10, we go. The yeah. magic 10, guys. That's a lot. Yeah. What is the actual cost?
The registration is $45. Okay. And for that, you get a T-shirt and you get a medal. For the first time, they're allowing the Beverly Hills Shield to be used on a really cool looking medal.
That's
guys,
cool.
if I could show you.
It's a great shield.
It's a really... Yeah. And the medal looks awesome. Awesome. So, yeah, we're offering $10 off, and the discount code is 10BHTALK. Okay, that's your discount code. And I know it's a very long email or website, but it's www.BeverlyHills5KRunWalkAndFitnessBlast.com. www.BeverlyHills5KRunWalkAndFitnessBlast.com. So use that discount code, get your $10 off, and come and join. Run or walk. That is a perfect time to start. It's in January. Start the year off right.
Perfect. And you get to see all the pretty women from the movie standing on the sidelines, Beverly Hills. Love Beverly Hills. That's an awesome Rodeo Drive. You've never been there. What a great... And they close the shops. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
So that code again, the code is
10BHTALK. Because we're on Tola Talk.
Yeah, 10BH Talk. Get you $10 off. It's only $35. Get you the T-shirt. Get you the medal. It's a lot of fun. What is it, like 3.6 miles or something?
Yeah.
It's not even that.
Yeah.
You could do that.
Oh, easy. But it's
strut.
You can walk it. You can...
And there's all people. There's a park there, too.
Yeah.
That park. It's such a... Oh, that's pretty exciting.
And we're going to have a fitness blast as well.
Yeah.
So there's going to be yoga and Pilates and kickboxing and all sorts of stuff and lots of... Vendors and
now, what
all
time
of that
does that get started?
7 o'clock in the morning.
7 a.m. It's on the 28th. What day of the week is that?
It's a Sunday.
Sunday
the 28th.
All right, guys, go do that. Troy will be there. I'm going to have to mosey on over there, Troy.
Please do.
I got to get over there. It's a Sunday, so it's a little early. Well, not early. I'll be in the gym, but I'll hit a... you skip the gym. Come over there.
That's right.
Come on, Rich.
It goes on till noon. So, you know,
that's
there's
great.
Actual races going on. And then we have, you know, this village, really cool village in front of the Annenberg, the Wallace Annenberg. So there's going to be live music. I mean, it's going to be so much fun. And it's the first one. So this is...
That medal might have some, you know, some value there.
eBay that.
You hear that?
You heard it here first.
That's right. Well, guys, go check that out. That's going to be cool. Yeah, Troy, you've been into, I mean, everything. You exude it. Positivity, the fitness, the skin. It does everything for you. Yeah. We won't talk too much more about that. But so, Troy, tell me about, because I want to hear about your most recent project. Mm-hmm. Well, I've seen everything Troy's been involved in. You guys can go look her up on IMDb. But you're in this new one, 2017 credit for A Woman's World. Tell me about that. Six women, life and family. And you're obviously, you and your husband. So tell me about that.
So I'm actually one of the co-producers on this, and it's basically about women. Women, what is a woman's world? And there are so many aspects of women and what we do. This is a small portion of six different women, their perspectives on having children. Hmm. So we have a donor who went the donor route. We have someone who is gay and went, you know, is in a same-sex marriage. So they had another donor situation.
Mm-hmm.
We have a fertility strand of our story. And then we have a beautiful story of a woman who had a perfect pregnancy and then ended up having a child with spina bifida. And but she's amazing. I mean, there's no but. When she saw her child, she was like, right, I'm going to parent the F out of this child. The positivity that she exuded always brings me to tears. So six very different stories. And, of course, our own story about trying to have a kid and the best way to have that, having done all the methods, the thermometer, the this, the that.
You
the
did
other.
All that? I
yeah.
know that. Yeah.
So just had to end up having sex every single day. Sorry, guys.
Well, that sucks.
I mean, yeah. Well, it does. It does.
Well, there was pressure.
Well, exactly.
You had the pressure.
It's not fun when you have to do it every single day.
I see.
you know, you
Well, wait a minute. That's from someone who's having it every single day. What about the people, the guys that are sitting there watching these these games and they're smoking their pot, they're putting porn on?
Yeah, but
they wish they had it every day.
You know what? Talk to my husband, who I used to pounce on. Honey, hurry up.
Let's go.
Let's go.
No, it's the clock. My friend had to do that. She would put her legs in the air.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, go with legs up the wall. I'm telling you, I heard the same story, buddy of mine. And it's funny because they stopped trying, did everything, and then she had three kids.
Right.
After.
I was like,
let go of it.
I have no time to waste, so I don't know when I'm ovulating because it's not clear.
Right.
So every single day. And
let's
then I got pregnant. And there we go. So that was my story.
It only took about 2 years, let's say.
But, you know, this is it's a great documentary about that. That aspect of a woman's world and what we go through.
Cool. So when is that? That's just released.
It hasn't been released just yet.
It says it has, by the way.
It says
November 5th by in the release dates.
Well, we're still tweaking some things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what happens. Soon. Everything gets tweaked.
It does. Well, because when you get interest and somebody wants to put a little extra on it, and so then we're like, okay.
That's all right, because everything gets created, and then it just keeps evolving, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
Troy, it's always an awesome time having you on the show. I love having Troy here.
I love being here.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
I really
we really
do.
Rock it on the radio. It's been fun.
Is it over?
Yeah, it goes
so
quick. I know. I'm at the point where it's like I'm looking at the clock thinking, I could go on another tangent, but we better not. We better sort of wrap it up here. So, guys, if you want to see me and Troy on the 28th of June.
January.
See, that's what happens. Yeah, 28th of January. It's a Sunday. Beverly Hills. Check it out. You guys will find us there. And Tola Talks. You know where to find the archives. On my website, of course, richtola.com. I'm with Troy Titus Adams. You can go look her up. Everybody find her. Twitter, TJ. TJ Titus Adams.
That's right.
On Twitter.
Or Troy Titus Adams on Instagram.
Instagram. Find her on Instagram, Twitter, and in the IMDb as well. Show. Hey, thanks for tuning in, guys. Thanks for calling in. For a bunch of you who called, thank you for doing it. Sorry we couldn't get to you, but we will next time. So until that next time, guys, do well. Thanks again, Troy.
Oh, thank you.
All right, everyone. Have a great one. Peace.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.